Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. This is a very special show for us for a number of reasons. This is our 300th show and the beginning of our 12th season on air. And we're very honored to have as our special guest for the entire show the chairman of the board of the L.A. County Board of Supervisors, our friend Don Cannabi. Don, welcome to Straight Talk.
Art, it's nice to be here. Honored to be here. Congratulations on 300 shows and start of the 12th season.
Thank you so much. Don was first elected to the board in 1996, re-elected in 2000, and then again in 2004, and he currently serves as its chairman. Don, give us a sense of the status of the County of Los Angeles.
Well, I think from our perspective anyway, at least from a budget standpoint, we're pretty stable right now based on some of the actions that Sacramento took. Obviously, there's some things on the ballot that could have some good impacts and some bad impacts coming up. We still have some shortfalls that we're going to have to deal with over the next couple of years. But if the voters approve Prop 1A, then obviously there'll be some cap on that, and so the state can't continue to raid cities and counties. So from that standpoint, again, but long term, obviously our big issue is health care and the emergency trauma network, and that whole system continue to be a big problem for us in the out years.
People may not realize it, but there are only five L.A. County supervisors, and they each represent 2 million people. That's more than a lot of United States senators represent.
Absolutely, or more than more, a lot of governors as well, too.
Well, one of the articles recently in the Press-Telegram headlined the fact that a half of the residents of L.A. County cannot read. That was kind of shocking to me.
Well, I mean, obviously it was a shocking headline to me as I opened the paper. You know, I'm not sure, I'm not reading thorough, being able to read up all the backup data, but obviously there are a lot of factors that go into that comment or, you know, the validity of the statement. One, you have a lot of the changing demographics here in Los Angeles County with our, you know, various ethnic groups coming in from all over the world, number one. And number two, you have some situations, particularly as it relates to the incarcerated young people and others that are basically illiterate. Yeah. And so, you know, program we started a while back, and you were so kind to advertise for us as Operation Read, where we're trying to teach these young people how to, you know, read the basic book or write a basic paragraph. And so you got 90% of our kids are functionally illiterate inside the incarcerated system. So outside that, you think you put everything else. It's not a good number, but you know, I question whether it's 50%, but we know it's significant.
I know as an educator how important literacy is, and also English speaking. One of the most important predictors of job success is fluency in English.
Well, you know, one of the things we try to point out in these literacy programs is you can't get the most basic job. You can't flip a hamburger. You can't do anything unless you have the ability to read. You can't fill out a job application. You can't start from square one. So obviously, the literacy and the whole ability to read is the cement, it's the building block, it starts everything else on any success trail that anyone has.
Well, elections are coming up, as we all know, in November, and Don briefly referred to Proposition 1A, which will be on the ballot, which would protect local cities, counties, and districts against state raids and takeaway of local money. And Don, speak to that issue. I know you support it.
Strongly. We know, as you probably remember, it wasn't too long ago when cities and counties and special districts came together to try to qualify an initiative for the ballot. We were successful in doing that. And then on the other hand, obviously, then the governor came into play in the state legislature, knowing that what we qualify could have dramatic impacts in Sacramento. What was historic about this whole process for the first time in the years that I can remember of my involvement, and that's been quite a while, but for those who have been in California politics even longer, they can't remember the last time a state budget was held up because of local government, where local government issues, the issues of funding, the issues of how that money spent had an impact on the state budget. You know, for the last 10, 11 years, I mean, state government is taking $40 billion in local revenues from cities, counties, and special districts to balance their own budget.
And you're a former mayor of Cerritos,
right.
And we've done many mayor's roundtable shows, and the plea from every mayor was a predictable and reliable source of funding, not this last-minute grab.
Well, you know, what happens, Art? I mean, you know, it's just like running a business. If the ground rules are this, one, cities and counties, you use property taxes to run your police, your fire, your libraries, your parks. You use vehicle license fees to do that. Now, forget the philosophical arguments of like with vehicle license fees, but that was the ground rules. But then at the whim, if they couldn't balance their budget, they would just take that money back and try to balance their own budget, yet let us continue to have the responsibility to run the programs without the additional
revenue.
So the
state was balancing its budget, solving its screw-ups, really on the backs of the cities and the counties.
Absolutely.
Simply unfair.
Absolutely unfair. Like I said, $40 billion over the last 12 years.
Okay, so Prop 1A, the county, I guess the county board of supervisors voted.
We supported it as a board, as individuals. It's a constitutional amendment. Governor Schwarzenegger's on board with it. Obviously, that was the agreement we had with him. It's a huge issue to local government. It's not more revenues. It's not additional taxes. It's the taxes that the folks that we represent here locally, that the money stays here locally.
Fair enough. Another measure on the ballot in L.A. County is Measure A, which would add 1/2-cent sales tax to be used for public safety. The Long Beach City Council is in support of that. Don, what's your position?
Well, I oppose it. I voted to put on the ballot. You know, there have been a number of issues that I don't necessarily support, but I really believe in the right of the voters to sort of determine their own destiny. I just think it's bad public policy. One, it puts us in a very difficult competitive position with neighboring counties. Number two, there was an old issue called Prop 172, which was another public safety ballot issue statewide. If we're going to do initiatives for public safety, one, it should be statewide. Two, it should include fire. This initiative does not include fire, which I have a big problem with. So the issue of the half-cent sales tax here in Los Angeles County, one, puts us in a very non-competitive advantage. But the Prop 172...
With neighboring counties.
With neighboring counties. But more importantly than that, because, you know, I'm a strong supporter of public safety. You know that. And the sheriff knows that. And the firefighters...
And the sheriff, Baca, is supporting
it. Oh, strongly.
Yeah, he really says
he was very happy with me on my vote to put on the ballot.
Okay.
He's not very happy with my stand against it. But in the old days, when the voters approved Prop 172, those dollars, sales tax dollars, would come into local governments for the enhancement of public safety. But these initiatives are written so loosely that what was happening is the dollars came in, the local government, the CAOs, and everyone else were taking the general...
They backed it out?
Backed it out. So instead of being an enhancement, it was
a substitute.
And at the end of the day, I mean, there's been no improvement. So my feeling is, let's use the 172 the way they should be used first, before we go to the taxpayer and the voters to ask them to increase the sales tax.
Okay, we're going to be continuing our conversation with our chairman, our guests, but we have to take a pause for these messages.
KKJZ-FM. Think jazz. Think KKJZ. 88.1 and 89.1 FM. Visit our website at www.kkjz.org.
That's right, miss.
Hogs?
Energy hogs. If you're wasting energy, you'll find one in your home.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org.
Hey, let me go.
Here's your dream, Sporty.
Because nobody likes an energy hog.
So, which job are you applying for?
There's more than one.
A couple more.
Wow.
High school graduate, right?
No, I dropped out.
Oh, well, that kind of narrows it down. You may be in luck. We have one opening, and it's in advertising.
All right.
Go to OperationGraduation.com.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price.
We are back, continuing our conversation with Don Kanabe, L.A. County Supervisor representing the 4th District. One of the big issues, of course, is the county seal. And let us show our viewers the existing county seal, which, Don, has been the county seal for how long?
Since the early 50s.
Los
Angeles County Supervisor Kenny Hahn designed it with a lot of thought to sort of be representative of the historical nature of Los Angeles County in Southern California.
Okay, there is a proposal before the County Board of Supervisors to change the seal to this seal, which eliminates the crosses that were present in the original seal.
Not crosses. There's one cross, small cross, on the original one that is one of 13 icons on there.
Okay.
It's being removed. I got a call from the mayor of Signal Hill. The Signal Hill folks are upset because also, if you'll notice, been removed in the original one of the oil derricks, which represented Signal Hill and the importance of oil to the entire basin here throughout the history of Los Angeles County and the history of Southern California. All right, I want to present you this. This could be a very valuable piece. This is the original, you know, with the existing county seal on it. Who knows? We may never be able to afford to give you a new one. So,
well, thank you very much, Don.
Make sure I got mine on.
I see you have your flag,
right.
And I have a flag, but I don't have the county seal. So
now
I'll
you do. But
wear this proudly.
Thank you very much. I think the important thing here is obviously my concern is one we had many offers of pro bono services to litigate this issue, to fight it as far as we needed to fight it, because what the ACLU is attempting to do is to rewrite history through the threat of litigation. We don't know. I mean,
they're claiming that the cross on the seal is a violation of separation of
church and state. And you know, if the cross were the same size as the pagan goddess of Pomona, that might be something to argue about. But the fact is, it's one small icon out of 13. And if from our first segment, you know, we talked about a half-cent sales tax. We talked about a potential $700 million shortfall for health care. We talked about all these other issues. This is not a high priority. This is not something that the County Board of Supervisors should be wasting their time or taxpayers' dollars trying to change across.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree with you more.
Potential million-dollar cost plus.
Rancho Los Amigos, we did a special show on that, as you know, and under federal order, the rancho is still open. But what does the future look like for Rancho Los Amigos, which is a nationally recognized rehabilitation hospital?
Well,
I know you really stepped up to the plate on that.
You know, one of the things, Art, is, you know, as you said so many times, and your kindness to have us on before, in spite of all this turmoil surrounding Rancho, he once again was in the top 10 rehab hospitals in America in the U.S. News and World Report. And it remains open. It's still under court order. It's one of those lawsuits that I was glad that the county lost. We've been meeting with the plaintiffs trying to work something out, either a downsized Rancho or the ability...
Privatization still on the table?
Absolutely. Obviously, the ideal situation would be a downsized Rancho that remained in the county family, because at some point, the numbers we can't get our hand on, we're responsible for those patients.
But this is a real island of excellence in government, and you don't often find real excellence of that nature in a government setting.
Absolutely. And as it has become world famous, the docs are hanging in there, the nurses are hanging in there, the administrative folks are hanging in there, even with all this turmoil. So hopefully it will survive, because it has no value without the docs, the nurses, but more importantly, the patients. Yes, they might be able to get care someplace else, but it could be hundreds of miles away.
Yeah.
And here we have a nationally acclaimed, an incredible, true center of excellence here in Los Angeles County, and we need to preserve it.
Don, you've been almost 25 years in public service, city council in Cerritos, mayor, working with former supervisor Dean Dana, and, of course, 8 years yourself on the County Board of Supervisors. What to you is the biggest challenge in public service?
Well, the biggest challenge, I think I have a twofold challenge. Okay. One, in my years on the city council, was being mayor during the serious air crash in 1986. Obviously, that was a life-changing experience for me as a person, as a political leader, and the importance of bringing people together. From the standpoint on the Board of Supervisors and working for Supervisor Dana, it's ongoing, and that is the cure somehow for health care. Gangs and mental health issues, I mean, things that we're responsible for, but, you know, continues to be the same story and trying to get through with it. And so at some point, there needs to be some federal help with it.
And now you have later on top of that the 9/11 threat and the need for Homeland Security. What does the county, is the county doing with regard to that?
Well, as it relates to the whole 9/11 issue, obviously, we've done an incredible amount of work to be prepared prior to 9/11. Some of the programs, as you know, I'm a presidential appointee on a Homeland Security Advisory Commission, and Secretary Ridge has been out here numerous times with me, and some of the programs that we have in place, like our early terrorist warning system, they're trying to take it on a national basis. Obviously, we've been very successful in trying to bring the ports together for port security. We've got LAX. Those are all within the confines of my district. It's sort of good news, bad news. I mean, the good news is Los Angeles County, and its regional responsibility, working with the various police departments like Long Beach and other cities, is probably as well prepared as any place in the nation. And I learn that more and more as I go to various parts of the country to meet on these Homeland Security things. The reason for that is flood, fires, earthquakes, and riots. And the fact that we do that disaster preparedness, that we do these kinds of things, whether we have a disaster or not, so when they do strike, that we're ready.
And yet there's no question that the port, third largest port in the world, is a prime potential target, and LAX, third largest airport in the country.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that, and obviously, you know, there's been a lot of emphasis placed on airport security, and a lot of those dollars need to be moved to support as well.
But amen.
I think when I call the meeting between the Port of Long Beach and the Port of LA to sort of bring everybody together, the good thing that's happening there is that the ports are working together on the security issues. They're applying for the same grant funds so we don't have to have two pieces of equipment. And beyond that, we've been very fortunate. Secretary Mineta was out here, a while back.
Transportation Secretary,
presenting us. We have a 100-person strike team in the ports. So there's a lot of things going on that people don't see that we've been very fortunate. Obviously, the ports could use more significant dollars. I think the ports, in my estimation, continue to need as much emphasis as airports.
Absolutely. And we had Chief Batts on last week, and he emphasized the importance of communication linkage. I was shocked to learn that L.A. Sheriff and Long Beach Police and L.A. Police cannot yet speak on the same frequency.
On the car-to-car, they do. On the Emergency Operations Center basis, they can do that. But the car-to-car thing, I mean, that's the whole
about
infrastructure.
About $35 million to fix that problem. Okay, we'll be continuing our conversation with the supervisor. So we have to pause now for these messages.
I propose three cheers for those we leave behind.
Congratulations. Good job. Congratulations. I'm proud of you. All right. Ensign Elliott. Who's going to salute him? Guys, who gets to salute him first?
Hey, kid, what's shaking? Besides me.
What?
Ooh, a snack.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org. Because nobody likes an energy hog.
Hey, they got Charlie!
Yeah, who cares?
There is really only one boy. One girl. One tree. One forest, one ocean, one mountain, one sky, and one simple way to care for it all. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together under one name, Earthshare. One environment, one simple way to care for it.
There's something you should know about me. I'm cold. I'm calculating.
I get what I want. If you get in my way, I'll wreak havoc upon you. I can leave you weak, limp, twisted, confused. If you want to live to see tomorrow, you answer to me, and you answer quickly.
I am a stroke.
Learn to recognize a stroke and act quickly. Time lost is brain lost.
Welcome back, and as I mentioned at the outset, this is our 300th Straight Talk show, beginning our 12th season. And Dawn, I'd like to just share a couple of recollections of guests, of people we've had over the years. First shot here, Eric Brown, who is the Senior Vice President of Charter Communications, who, together with Craig Watson, so supportive of local programming, and the wonderful Wilson High School Chamber Singers come for our holiday show and add beauty and luster. Congressman Rohrabacher, one of your Republican colleagues you'll recognize, together with our crack crew. Yvette Freeman was in town to do a show for International City Theater. Wonderful job. And, of course, Bob Foster worked 5 years to bring the swim trials to Long Beach. And Steve Goodling, head of the IC.
That was an incredible experience for Long Beach.
That was wonderful.
That was phenomenal.
Moment in the sun for a glorious week. Yeah. And we have, there's the congressman again, who was our guest several times. Assemblywoman Jenny Rapeza and John Seiler from the editorial board of the Orange County Register. One of my favorite shots, Sally Struthers, Meathead's wife, and Krista Jackson coming in town to do always Patsy Cline. And Aaron Gruel, who wrote Freedom Writer's Diary, Long Beach Reads One book, was a wonderful, wonderful week. You know Jim McHallion, Mr. Right. Grand Prix.
Mr. Grand Prix.
Made it happen for the 30th year. And Tom Teofilo and other folks from World Trade Week. And our British friend, the great British farce writer Ray Cooney, was in town to do his show, Caught in the Web. And last but not least, our friends 25 years in the same spot, Busters, Todd Hartman, Nancy Hartman, Jim. They play the favorites.
They play the favorites.
At
they've
Busters.
Been there. They've been a survivor.
They have a following. So
yes, they do.
We're very honored to have you on the show, Don, and I understand you.
Well, you know, Art, as I said early on, congratulations to you. And I have this County Los Angeles, it has a county seal on it.
Whoa!
Even. Yeah, and it says, in recognition of your service to the community through these wonderful Straight Talk television show, and obviously a widely watched and respected public affairs show. So, on the occasion of your taping of your 300th show and the opening of your 12th season, many, many more.
Thank
Congratulations.
You so, thank you so much, Don. Let me hold this up
All
for
right.
our viewers. This is a beautiful, beautiful county scroll, complete with seal.
Complete with seal.
And I will proudly display this
right.
In my office.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our friend Congressman Rohrabacher was also nice enough to send us a commendation. And that commendation was presented to me and to our Straight Talk television show on the occasion of our 12th season and our taping of the 300th show. And I would like to accept both of these certificates on behalf of our entire crew. Ron Petke, our producer and director, and the entire crew, Randy and Doug and CJ, Dave, John Jean, Taka, Dave, and Anna all help to bring you this quality show each year, each week, each month. We have a shot of the crew with the former First Lady, if we can, Sharon Davis, who was a lovely guest, and we enjoyed that show very much. I'd also like to thank our sponsors. Our new title sponsor, Southern California Edison, is with us, and we're just delighted. Community Hospital of Long Beach, Caremore Medical Group, the Port of Long Beach have all been sponsors. And our regular 30-second spot sponsors, Polly's Gourmet Coffee, Naples Rib Company, Fromex Photo Lab, McCarty's Jewelry, Umberto's International Clothier, Diversa, The Salon, Golden Security Bank, Maury's of Naples, the law offices of Richard Poland, and our newest sponsor, Papa Lucci's Italian Restaurant. And finally, our partners, Musical Theater West, Long Beach Museum of Art, the International City Theater, and the K-Jazz radio station. So, Don, it's a lot of good folks that help make this happen each week.
Well, you know, you put together an incredible network, incredible team, and these public affairs shows just don't survive that many years without good quality leadership from you. But more importantly, you got a great staff that you work with, and you've been able to garner great guests. And I just wish you the very, very best. I mean, it's a very, very successful show, and I know watched by a lot of people. And, although you ask tough questions at times, you also cover a lot of the positive things going on in this great community.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that, Don. And our show, really underlying our show, is values and the philosophy that each of us can make a difference. We can't just leave it to the police to protect us. We can't just leave it to our elected representatives. Each of us can make a difference in our own way in our own communities. And finally, I personally believe in the gratitude attitude. The road to happiness really in life is to be deeply grateful for all of our blessings, however much or however little we may have. So I want to thank you, Don, very much for honoring us with your presence on this very special show.
Well, I'm honored to be invited to the 300th show, so I consider that an honor, and I appreciate it very much, Art.
And most of all, thank you, our viewers, because without our viewers, we don't have a show, and we now reach 500,000 cable viewers in 30 cities. We thank each of you for watching, thank you for your loyalty, and invite you to join us each week for our Straight Talk show as we enter our 12th season. Thank you so much, and good night to y'all. Thank you very much.